Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents Words from the Heart by Kathleen Fuller, narrated by Callie Bollier. September 3rd. Dear Ivy, I know we just said goodbye a few minutes ago, but I'm missing you already. I wish you didn't have to leave Michigan. I wish you didn't have to go back to Birch Creek. I wish you were here next to me. I wish for a lot of things, and hopefully, soon, some of them will come true. I'll visit you as soon as I can. In the meantime, expect a lot of letters from me. I'm not much of a writer, but I'll do the best I can. You'll probably get tired of hearing from me. I can't wait to hear from you. Write soon, Ivy. It won't be long until we're together again. John. Chapter 1. December. 1 year later. Ivy Yoder stood on tiptoes as she reached for the dark green dress she'd chosen to wear today. She had a step stool in her room, but most of the time she didn't bother to use it. At 4'11", she was used to having to reach for things. Once she was dressed, her hair tucked neatly into a stiff white cap and warm stockings covering her legs and feet, she grabbed her purse and then went downstairs to help her mother with breakfast. "Gut morgen," Mom said, scrambling what Ivy knew had to be a dozen eggs in a large cast-iron skillet. She adjusted the gas burner underneath. "Morning," Ivy set her purse on the kitchen counter near the mudroom, and then started setting the table. Her father and three brothers were feeding the animals and milking their two dairy cows, and, as usual, they would be hungry for a big meal when they finished. Her brothers were all strapping boys who burned a lot of calories working on the family farm. After several lean years, the farm was a success. They had plenty of food, not only for themselves, but to share with other families as well. None of them took for granted the bounty they were experiencing after so many years of struggle. Ivy quickly finished with the table, and then she started cutting a fresh loaf of bread into thick slices. "Everything okay?" Ivy looked at her mother, not liking the expression on her face. Mary Yoder was usually a happy-go-lucky woman, optimistic in even the worst of times. But occasionally she made that face, her eyes looking at Ivy with a mix of worry and confusion. "Yeah," Ivy said, placing the bread slices on a plate and carrying it to the table. "Why?" "Today's your last day at the Millers. I know you've enjoyed working for them." Ivy nodded. She'd been working part-time at Miller's Bookbinding over the past couple of years. Her younger sister, Karen, had also worked there before she married a little over a year ago. Now, David Miller had told Ivy he and his wife were closing their business and moving back to Holmes County, where they were from originally. "I'll miss them a lot, but they're happy to be moving closer to their extended familia. That seems to be a trend around here." Mom slid the scrambled eggs onto a large platter and handed it to Ivy. "The older people here when Emmanuel Troyer started the settlement are moving away," she smiled. "Meanwhile, our community is filling up with young folks." Ivy returned her mother's smile with a half-hearted one of her own. "Yes, there were plenty of younger residents in Birch Creek now. Unfortunately, most of them were children, teenagers, or men who came to marry women in the community. Over the past 3 years, since Emmanuel Troyer left under a scandalous cloud and her father became the new bishop, a lot of changes had been made. But one thing remained the same. Ivy Yoder, at nearly 26, was still unmarried and had zero prospects. Well, there'd been one. She thought about the letter from John still in her nightstand. The one and only letter she'd received from him, even though he'd promised to write her every day. She hadn't been foolish enough to hold him to that specific promise, but she had expected him to write, at the very least, to respond to her letters. Instead, she hadn't heard from him in over a year. "Ivy, are you sure you're all right? You seem a little preoccupied." "I'm okay," and she was, except when she thought about John, or her single status, two things she preferred not to dwell on. Mom opened her mouth, but then she closed it. Another sign that her mother was concerned. Mom rarely failed to speak her mind. Ivy knew she should let the matter drop, but after a few seconds and against her better judgment, she said, "What?" "It's just..." Mom swirled soapy water around her spatula in the sink. I wondered if maybe you were having some trouble adjusting to Karen not being here. Karen moved out months ago. Besides, she said, shoving one of the kitchen chairs farther under the table, there's Nick's to adjust to. But we've never really talked about... Mom sighed, dried her hands, and walked over to her. I just want to make sure you're okay. And if you want to talk about anything, I'm here for you. Ivy nodded, touched that her mother, even in her uncertainty, wanted to be sure Ivy was all right. But a small part of her knew if she had a boyfriend or even the prospect of a husband and a future, her mother probably wouldn't be worrying so much. Maybe not at all. Still, she appreciated her offer. Dengue, she said. That's good to know. Her father and brothers entered the kitchen, and after they took turns washing their hands, everyone sat down at the table. When they'd finished eating breakfast, Ivy cleared the table and started filling the sink with fresh water. I'll do the dishes, Mom said, turning off the tap. You get on to work. Are you sure? Yeah, she wiped her hands on her apron. Are you still planning to go to Phoebe's after work? Ivy nodded. Phoebe Chupp had invited her and Karen over to make Christmas cards. Many Birch Creek residents sent homemade cards this time of year. Ivy's best friend, Leanna, who was also Phoebe's sister-in-law, was coming as well. Ivy was looking forward to spending time with her friends, even if she sometimes felt like an outsider because they were all married and, in Phoebe's case, had two children. Do you want to join us, Mom? She shook her head. I've got plenty to do here. You have fun. I will. She went to the mudroom and put her navy blue scarf around her neck, noticing the small hole in one end. She kept putting off darning it. Sewing wasn't her favorite activity, but she needed to tend to it before the hole grew bigger and ruined the whole scarf. She slipped on her coat and boots before making her way outside. As she headed to the barn, she wrapped the scarf more tightly around her neck. It was a crisp morning, and she looked up at the rising sun as it peeked out from behind puffy white clouds. Tucking her chin deeper into her scarf, she entered the barn, nodded at her 16-year-old brother Ira, who was cleaning out the stalls, and hitched up the buggy. By the time she reached the Millers, the sun had finally risen and the clouds had disappeared. She parked the buggy, unhitched the horse, led him to the fenced-in pasture behind the barn, and then went inside the small, modest Amish home. The Millers had been in the bookbinding business for almost 30 years, bringing it to Birch Creek when they moved here 10 years ago. She found it hard to believe this was her last day working for the kind couple. She'd miss them, but not necessarily the work. She found it tedious, especially the book repair orders that occasionally came in. David worked on the most valuable and delicate repairs, but Ivy had learned how to replace and repair pages and books that had more sentimental value than monetary value. In the Miller's mudroom, she removed her boots and hung up her scarf and coat before going to the back room where the Millers had set up their workshop. When she walked in, David was hunched over his desk, the scent of glue, old books, and fresh paper hanging in the air. "Good morning," Magdalena Miller said from her usual position at a large table in the center of the room. She was packing spiral-bound cookbooks into a small box. She paused, her lips forming a slight smile, deepening the wrinkles at the corners of her mouth. I have something for you. For me, she watched in surprise as Magdalena turned, picked up a large hardcover book, and walked toward Ivy. For you, Magdalena handed the book to her. Ivy's surprise grew as she ran her hand over the beautiful linen cover. What is this? Open it and see. She did, and what she saw nearly brought tears to her eyes. She'd worked on a genealogy project for her father for the last 3 years, another tedious job, but one she found more interesting as she delved into the histories of her family and others in Birch Creek. She'd brought it in last week to be bound, but she'd been expecting a simple plastic spiral binding with a soft cover. It's beautiful, she said as she turned the high-quality pages. Our gift to you for doing such wonderful work, David joined his wife at her side. I wasn't expecting anything so lovely. Ivy closed the book and hugged it to her chest. Dengue, Dad will really like this. You've put a lot of hard work into that project. It deserves a special binding, Magdalena smiled. We're going to miss you and all of Birch Creek, but the time has come for us to retire and move closer to familia." David removed his glasses and wiped the lenses with a handkerchief. "The business isn't what it used to be, with so many people now using those fancy e-readers." He put his glasses back on and pushed them onto his high-bridged nose. "But we've made a good living doing what we love, and for that, we're blessed." Magdalena took a deep breath. "Now, let's get to work. We still have plenty to do today." Ivy set the book aside and started packing up the last shipments of books from Miller's bookbinding. She also spent a few hours helping Magdalena pack up the workshop. "Don't worry about the rest," she said when Ivy's usual quitting time had come. "We'll finish it ourselves." "Are you sure you don't need any help?" "Nay, our son and his familia are coming tomorrow to help us." Magdalena looked around the workshop. "We'll have everything ready to go by Saturday." Ivy hugged her now former employer. "Danke for the opportunity to work here." Magdalena hugged her back, and after Ivy said goodbye to her and David, she headed to Phoebe's. Phoebe and Jalen Chupp didn't live too far from the Millers, but the drive still gave Ivy some time to think. She'd been trying to find a new job ever since she learned the Millers were closing their business and moving away, but she hadn't had much luck. Either the jobs were temporary or she couldn't work the hours they required. Tomorrow, she would have to step up her efforts. She didn't want to be without a job for very long. But this evening, she was spending time with friends. She pulled into the Chupp's driveway and mused about how much had changed in such a short time. A little over 2 years ago, this residence had been a small, not-so-successful farm where Jalen and Leanna lived alone after their parents moved back to their hometown in Mesopotamia. Now, there was an addition on the house, and Phoebe's family, the Bontragers, had built a house on the property next door. The modest Doughty house behind Jalen and Phoebe's house was now a large house where Karen and her husband Adam lived. Since Adam's legs had been paralyzed in an accident when he was 12, the house was equipped to accommodate his wheelchair. Leanna and Roman now lived in a new house near his brother, Daniel, and his wife, Barbara. Ivy parked the buggy and got out. A large Maine coon cat trotted toward her on the fresh snow. As he curled around her leg, she bent down and patted his head. "Hey, Blue, where's your shadow?" "Right here." A 7-year-old boy with pale blonde hair and striking blue eyes scampered to them. "Auntie Leanna and Karen are already here helping Mom with supper. I'd better hurry inside and give them a hand." Malachi picked up Blue. "See you later," he said, waving as he walked away, the huge cat snuggled in his arms. After caring for her horse, Ivy went to the back door and knocked, but instead of waiting for an answer, she walked inside and kicked off her boots in the mudroom. The scent of apples and cinnamon filled the air as she hung up her coat and scarf. When she poked her head through the kitchen doorway, Phoebe was pulling a pie out of the oven, Karen was brushing butter over freshly baked rolls, and Leanna was setting the table, the best task to give her. Despite being married for more than a year, she was still hopeless in the kitchen. "What can I do to help?" Ivy asked. Leanna set down the last fork. "Nix, I think everything is done," she smirked. "Your timing is impeccable." Ivy grinned and looked up at her best friend of many years. Leanna Raber was unusual in several ways, starting with her 6-foot height and very slim body. She was also the only female Amish mechanic in Birch Creek and anywhere as far as Ivy knew. She was quirky and outgoing and confident, traits Ivy had always appreciated. Years ago, they'd vowed to be friends forever, and as they grew older and their friends were consumed with interest in boys, they also vowed never to do something as silly and conventional as getting married. Ivy's smile dimmed. So much for keeping that last vow. "Where's Hannah?" Ivy asked Phoebe. Phoebe slipped the potholders off her hands. "With Mom. She wanted to take her for the night." Phoebe shook her head. "You would think 12 kina in the house would be enough for her, especially since Hannah's starting to walk now." 12 buoy," Leanna pointed out. "Your mom needs a little female balance, don't you think?" "And we all know how she dotes on her granddaughter," Karen said as she put the rolls on the table. The back door opened and Jalen walked in from the mudroom, Adam close behind in his wheelchair and Malachi bringing up the rear. Gay, wash up for supper, Jalen ordered, looking at his young son. I'll go with you, Adam said. Then he swooped Malachi up and parked him on his lap. As he wheeled out of the kitchen, he looked up at Ivy. Hi, he said. We'll be right back. Ivy turned to look at Karen, and from the softness in her sister's eyes, Ivy could tell she'd been watching her husband with Malachi. She wondered how long it would be before Karen and Adam had their own child. Ivy knew Karen wanted to be a mother, but although she and her sister were close, Karen hadn't shared anything that personal with Ivy since the wedding, which was fine with Ivy. Married couples deserved privacy, and she wouldn't pry. She took in the scene in the kitchen. Jalen washing his hands in the sink as he talked to Phoebe, Leanna pouring the last glass of cold tea as Karen set Malachi's cup of milk in front of his place setting, and not for the first time, she felt like a seventh wheel. That feeling only increased as they all sat down at the table. She was seated next to Malachi and across from Leanna. Roman was working late on a broken generator, but even though he wasn't there, Ivy felt his presence. A tiny stab of envy paled against how she'd felt when she returned from Michigan and learned Leanna and Roman were dating. Ivy had spent a few weeks with her cousin while she was on bed rest, and she'd had no idea Leanna and Roman had fallen for each other while she was gone. She hadn't known Leanna was even interested in Roman. She was happy for her friend when she told her of their unexpected romance, but a part of her felt betrayed, which was ridiculous since Ivy had been considering breaking her own vow to remain single. Thanks to John, she didn't have to consider it anymore. They all prayed and then ate the delicious meal. Corned beef and cabbage, buttery mashed potatoes, fluffy rolls, and apple pie for dessert. After supper, the men cleared out while the women quickly cleaned the kitchen and then brought out the supplies to make cards. Folded cardstock, a few rubber stamps with simple Christmas designs, red, green, and black ink pads, and envelopes. Ivy chose a hollyberry design and started stamping. "Today was your last day at the Millers, yeah?" Karen asked. At Ivy's nod, she added, "I'm going to miss them. I enjoyed working there." "They're happy to be moving closer to familia." Ivy examined the stamped image, a little crooked, but hopefully no one would notice. "Do you have another job lined up?" She shook her head. "Tomorrow I'm going to start getting serious about my search." "Funny you should mention that," Leanna tapped one slender finger on the kitchen table. "Aiden came into the shop this morning. He mentioned offhand to Roman that he'll need to hire someone to work in the store soon. He's taken over running it since Sadie is in a familia way. None of the Schrock women are working in the store anymore, so they need another employee besides Barbara. It's hard to believe that just a couple of years ago all three sisters were working there." Karen inserted her finished card into an envelope. "Things have changed around here so quickly," Leanna said, nodding. She looked at Phoebe. "Mostly good changes, though." Ivy was only half listening. Leanna was right about the good changes in Birch Creek, but the community had also experienced its share of tragedy. Schrock Grocery and Tools was a successful store owned by the Schrock family. When Sadie's parents died in a buggy accident 3 years ago, she and her sisters, Abigail and Joanna, took over running the store. Now, all three sisters were married and had children, so Ivy wasn't surprised they needed help in addition to Barbara, who'd been working at the store for over a year. "You should talk to Aiden about it," Leanna said, affixing a stamp to the upper right corner of an envelope. Ivy nodded. She would enjoy working at the Schrocks, and not just because she was friends with the family. She liked being around people, something she didn't get enough of while working at the Millers. It would also be a new challenge, since she'd never worked in retail before. She made a mental note to stop by there tomorrow. Relieved that she now had an option, she focused on finishing the cards and enjoying time with her friends, the self-pity she'd felt earlier disappearing. She might not be married or even dating, but she wasn't alone. She had her family, her friends, and, most important, her relationship with God. What more could she ask for? Later that night, Ivy yawned as she drove home. It had been a long day, and she was looking forward to climbing into bed and snuggling under her handmade quilt. But when she pulled into the driveway, she saw a familiar buggy. What was Sevilla Schlebach doing here? It was easy to recognize the older woman's buggy. On it was the maximum amount of reflective tape the district would allow, and probably not only because of safety reasons. Ivy's father had relaxed the restrictions several months ago, as he had with a lot of the rules since he became bishop. He hadn't thrown the ordnung out the window, and he was devout when it came to his faith. But Emmanuel Troyer had held the community under his tight fist, and Ivy's father determined that not all the rules needed to be so strict. She put the horse up in the barn and then went inside the house, where she heard voices coming from the front room all the way to the mudroom. When she entered the living room, she was a little surprised to see Noah Schlebach sitting on the hickory rocker her parents had owned since before she was born. Ivy's brow shot up. She hadn't seen or heard from Noah since Karen and Leanna's double wedding. He'd approached her right after the ceremony and told her his great-aunt Sevilla wanted them to go through her deceased stepmother's belongings. Glenda's English family had shipped a load of boxes to her, eager to finally clean out one of the family homes. "For some reason, we have to gay through them together," he'd said. That was the way his aunt wanted it, and Ivy knew Sevilla well enough that she didn't argue. That was over a year ago, and this was the first time Noah had returned to Birch Creek. She wasn't exactly surprised about that. He wasn't from the area, or even Ohio. He lived in Arbor Grove, an Amish community in Iowa, and he traveled extensively for his job as an auctioneer and antique specialist. That was an atypical career for an Amish man, but Sevilla wasn't the only quirky member of the Schlebach family. Ivy had assumed he'd changed his mind about helping his aunt since he'd been gone so long. "Hi," she said, hesitating at the edge of the living room. "Noah stopped by to see you." Mom gave Ivy an inquisitive look, since men never came to the Yoder household to visit Ivy. "I wasn't expecting you," Ivy said to Noah. "But now that you're here," Mom said, getting up from the couch, "we'll leave you two to talk." She tapped her husband's toe with her foot. "Right, Fremont?" "Oh, yeah, right." He rose as well and stretched. "Nice visiting with you, Noah." "Likewise." Noah stood and shook Fremont's hand. After her parents left, Ivy moved to stand by the couch. Noah held out his hand to her. "Hi, Ivy." She looked up at him, way up, so she could see his face. He was an average-looking man, nothing extraordinary about him except for one thing. He was tall, very tall, well over 6 feet, probably 6'4" if she had to guess. He was also lanky and gangly, the complete opposite of John, physically. Why was she thinking about John right now? It wasn't as if Noah was a viable candidate to end her singleness. As far as she knew, he had a girlfriend, or even a wife, back home in Iowa. She shook his hand. "Sorry, it's been so long since we talked," he said. "I've been pretty busy with traveling and all." She nodded. "Found any good antiques?" "A few." "How have you been?" "I've been..." She paused. "I've been good," she smiled. "Sehr gut." "Glad to hear it. I'm assuming you're here to talk about Sevilla." At his nod, she gestured for him to sit back down as she lowered herself onto the couch. "I've asked her a couple of times if she wanted me to at least unpack a box or two, especially since you told me at the wedding that another shipment was coming too." "It did, and let me guess," he said, sitting back down in the hickory rocker opposite her. "She refused." "Yeah," she folded her hands in her lap. He leaned back in the chair and put his straw hat on one knee, his long legs bent, the toe of one foot tapping against the floor. He was one tall, thin man. "I still don't know why she insists we both need to do this, but we can gay through the boxes together per my auntie's instructions. If you're free, that is. I'll be glad for your help." "I'm free," and she was a bit enthusiastic. She'd been itching to unpack those boxes and find out what kinds of things Sevilla's English stepmother kept. Sevilla said her stepmother was a pack rat, so Ivy assumed there would be some interesting finds up in her attic. "When do you want to start?"
"Tomorrow morning, if that's okay. I figure the sooner the better. Sevilla is eager to get her stepmother's stuff sorted and out of her attic."
Did she say that?
Not in those exact words, but trust me, I got the message. He grabbed his hat and immediately started tapping the floor again. When he saw her looking at his foot, he stilled. "Sorry, bad habit." Then he added, "I was hoping to be here sooner, but my schedule wouldn't permit it. I feel bad that she's waited this long." She didn't know Noah very well, but she did admire his commitment to his aunt, something she'd seen before. About 2 years ago, Sevilla had invited her to go to Holmes County for the day. It was her first invitation from Sevilla, and while she had thought it odd that the woman invited her and not someone closer to her 80-plus years, Ivy agreed to go. She had suggested Leanna go with them, but Sevilla said she wanted it to be just the two of them. On the ride there, she said they were going to an auction Noah was involved in. Ivy didn't mind. She liked auctions. She enjoyed seeing the interesting and, at times, unique items being auctioned off. She also liked eating fresh hot donuts while she observed the action, both on the auctioneer podium and in the crowd milling around. At this auction, Noah was one of the auctioneers. She had to admit he was good, very good. Not only was his auctioneer's cadence smooth and fast, but he could also get the crowd going with a joke or a good-natured plea for more bids. "Isn't he wonderful?" Sevilla had said a few minutes into the auction. "He's definitely good." Ivy ate the last bite of her donut. "When he's finished, I'll introduce you." When they met, she was surprised at his height, especially noticeable when she was standing next to him. After Sevilla made the introductions, he bent down slightly to look at her, a move she usually disliked because it made her feel a bit insignificant. In his defense, though, he pretty much had to because of their extreme height difference. "Nice to meet you. My auntie has mentioned you once or twice." He straightened and winked at Sevilla. "I only mention people worth mentioning," Sevilla touched the back of her cop. "I thought, since the auction is over, we can get supper?" "Sounds like fun, but I can't. The auction might be over," he said, gesturing to the people cleaning up around them, "but there's still lots of work to be done. Since I'm the head auctioneer, I have to stay behind and make sure it all gets finished and people get paid." "Oh," he picked up on her disappointment right away, "but don't worry, I'll come to see you soon." Then he did something that surprised Ivy. He grabbed his aunt in a big hug right in front of everyone. "I love you," he said, his voice clear and resonant. "Be careful on the way back to Birch Creek." Then he let her go, and as he backed away, he nodded at Ivy. "Nice to meet you." Ivy wasn't particularly shy with her affection. She hugged her mother and her sister regularly, her father less frequently since he was more reserved, and sometimes Leanna. But she hugged only in a private setting, like all the Amish she knew. She watched Noah clap an Englishman on his back and say, "Good job," in his deep, friendly voice. From what she could tell, he seemed respected and well-liked, and Sevilla clearly thought the world of him. He'd been true to his word that day, visiting his aunt a week later. Ivy hadn't seen him that time, but Sevilla had made sure to tell her he'd been there. "He's such a good boo," she said as she poured Ivy a cup of peppermint tea, Sevilla's staple when Ivy came to visit. "I wish he would slow down, though. He doesn't take time to smell the pansies." Ivy caught herself. If Sevilla wanted to smell pansies, Ivy wouldn't correct her. "So is tomorrow morning okay?" Noah asked. Ivy blinked as Noah's question brought her back into the present. "Sure, tomorrow is fine." She picked off a piece of fluff on the edge of her sweater sleeve. "What time should I be there?" "Sevilla gets up before the chickens, so I'm sure you couldn't arrive too early," he grinned as he stood. "After breakfast, we'll be fine." Ivy thought that would be perfect. She'd spend a few hours at Sevilla's and then stop by the Schrocks to talk to Aiden about a possible job. Noah plopped his hat on his head, covering up a mop of wavy black hair. "Can't wait to see what Glenda's got in store for us." "Me too. I'm still surprised Glenda's familia sent all her stuff to Sevilla, but I guess after Glenda's sister died too, they were eager to find someone to take it." Noah shrugged as she walked him to the door. "I guess Sevilla doesn't talk too much about Glenda's familia, which is surprising since she talks about everything else. Sometimes too much." He flashed another grin as he said the words. Then again, compared to me and my auntie, the rest of our familia is pretty quiet, a staid bunch, as Sevilla says. Ivy agreed as Noah slipped on his boots. She knew only a little about Sevilla's family, that Glenda, Sevilla's stepmother.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?